Now back to the Tribune's Rick Pearson. It's the Sunday Spin on 720 WGN.
Good Sunday morning. Welcome back to the Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune here in the WGN Skyline studio. Joining me for this segment of the Sunday Spin is Michael C. Dorff, attorney, and George Van Dusen, who's mayor of Skokie. And they are the authors of Clear It with Sid, a biography of Sid Yates, the late congressman who served 50 years and came in with was the re-election of Truman and went out in 99. And Clear It with Sid, it's I have to tell you, I don't get a chance to read a lot of books. And plus, I didn't really know Sid Yates at all. I was, during that time, kind of primarily focused on Springfield coverage and things like that. And so, you know, he was an iconic name, but I didn't really know that much about him. But when you look at the history that his tenure spanned in Congress and the changes that occurred over time, just fascinating stories. I mean, when you think of him getting elected in 1948, it was a 50-50 district, Republican-Democrat district. He was at risk in the early years of being defeated by a Republican. And now you kind of look at the North Shore and the changes that have occurred there, the evolution that has occurred here. But it is a story about the evolution of a country, I think, in many ways. So, I mean, I'd like to hear from each of you, what was the most interesting aspect you found in researching the book? Mayor?
Well, I think it was discovering a person Michael and I hadn't known. We both worked for him for many years. I here in Chicago, Michael in D.C., and we thought we knew him.
Mm-hmm.
We had worked on many campaigns. We saw him in all kinds of situations, political, legislative, so on. And when he retired, we started talking about the fact that we thought he deserved to have a good biography done of him. There aren't many about members of Congress, speakers, yes.
Leaders.
And we need to do more of that kind of thing to help educate the public. Plus, he had a fascinating career, as you mentioned. But the more we got into the book and the research, we discovered a person we did not know. And he really is just a fascinating individual. He worked at the job. He was a principled individual. He gave his loyalty to people like John Kennedy. He helped Kennedy out. And the story of the 62 election, I think, is fascinating.
I want to get to that. But, Michael, what did you find the most interesting part?
Well, when George and I both started working for the congressman, he was already a big shot. He was already an elder statesman. He was what they call one of the cardinals of the Congress. These were the chairs of the appropriations subcommittees. And so they controlled billions of dollars of federal money. We didn't know him as the young person who ran unsuccessfully for alderman in 1939, which was a race that no one in the office ever told us about in all the years we knew them. We didn't know about his naval career. We didn't know about some of his early crusades. He did a crusade to ban switchblade knives from interstate commerce, thinking that this would end crime and juvenile delinquency.
I thought that was very interesting because, I mean, it kind of reminded me of like the trying to ban comic books because that kind of thing.
Absolutely. And what was so interesting to us is we had always respected him, but I liked him a lot more after I started learning about the early years and what he went through to get where he was when we first met him.
I have to tell you that one of the most fascinating parts of the book involved Hyman Rickover. And I'll let you guys tell the story, but the concept of here's the father of the nuclear Navy and the discrimination inside the Navy that he was up against, to the point where, you know, here is the man who basically designed the first nuclear submarine, and when they had the keel laying ceremony, he's not even invited. It took a vendor to invite him. But either one of you, if you want to explain the story.
There was absolutely institutional anti-Semitism in the Navy. And Rickover was a captain, had been on the engineering line, not on command line, but engineering. And he had been passed over twice for promotion to admiral. And under the rules of the Navy, if he got passed over a third time for admiral, he would be cashiered from the Navy.
He'd have 1 year left, and he'd have to retire.
And he'd have to retire. And Yates took it on as a crusade, partly because Rickover was from Chicago. That's why there's a Rickover Academy at Senn High School. But also because it was just such a great unfairness. And he took on two presidents, Eisenhower and Truman. He took on the Navy. He took on the Senate Armed Services Committee. He succeeded in the Navy never admitted they were wrong. But what they ended up doing is they created a slot for promotion from a captain to admiral who was an expert in nuclear propulsion. And there was only one person in the entire United States Navy who fit that slot, and Rickover got the promotion. Yates later said it was one of the greatest triumphs of his career.
But when he talked to Rickover and took up the cause, Rickover said, "I don't want you to make this an anti-Semitism as an issue here." Which basically seems like telling you're handicapping the lawyer, you know?
And Yates didn't.
Right.
Yates honored the commitment he had given Rickover. But there were four members of Rickover's staff who did cooperate with Yates. And I think what the story shows is what Yates was becoming. He was very thorough. When Rickover's brother-in-law came to Yates' office,
which is the original Berman, the original entree to this issue,
he was a constituent, another constituent. Yates listened to him, didn't know a lot about Rickover other than he was from Chicago and bright man and Jewish, but he spent a lot of time studying it. He talked to Rickover's staff, and even though Rickover himself wasn't very cooperative, he kind of turned an eye in knowing that his staff was helping. Rickover was a smart politician, not a particularly likable human being.
Thank you. I was going to explain
that. A very difficult human being, and everybody acknowledged that. But at the same time, he had a cadre a very bright young man, one of whom would go on to become president of the United States, Jimmy Carter, who were utterly devoted to him. But after vetting the situation, Yates took it on. And once he took something, he didn't let go. To him, it wasn't just good PR in his congressional district back home in Chicago. It was more than that. And you see that with him when he takes on the SST. You see it again when he takes on the ABM. And then, of course, when he becomes chairman of the Appropriations Subcommittee, he becomes a negotiator and knows how to deal. And, of course, maybe the triumph he's most well known for was preserving the National Endowment for the Arts, which also took a lot of perseverance.
Especially what prompted and still kind of makes that an issue these days of questions about obscenity and what is art and those kinds of things. We're speaking with George Van Dusen. He's the mayor of Skokie, and Michael C. Dorf. He's an attorney. They are the authors of Clear It with Sid, the biography of the late Congressman Sid Yates. I'm Rick Pearson. This is the Sunday Spin.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away. If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay. Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
Welcome back to your Sunday Spin. I'm Rick Pearson of the Chicago Tribune, here in the WGN Skyline studio, joined by Michael Dorff and George Van Dusen. They are the authors of Clear It With Sid, a biography of Congressman Sid Yates. Speaking of fly with me, and you touched on this, Mayor, briefly, about his role in killing the SST as a federally subsidized program. And it turns out it was almost prophetic that, the aviation evolved. No one's looking for an SST.
No. It shows Yates' willingness to do the work that it takes. But also he was uniquely situated. He had returned to Congress after losing the race for the Senate, and needed to find an issue that he could use. And he found the SST, not quite by accident. He and a couple other members of Congress, very junior in status, were opposed to it. But all of the leadership, Democrat, Republican, Democratic presidents, Republican presidents, all supported the project, as well as the machinist union.
It was going to create thousands of jobs, and it really was looked at as a Cold War issue because Russia was developing an SST.
I was
going to
say it was almost
well.
Another form of space race kind of issue at that time.
And that's how they were projecting it, but Yates realized first it was an environmental disaster. The science of it and the technology was not there.
The sonic boom factor,
and it was just so overpriced. And he said, "This is just a bad project. We shouldn't be doing it."
Let's talk about 1962 when he decides to run for the U.S. Senate, and that's Everett McKinley Dirksen, a Republican from Pekin. And in fairness, a statesman in his own right, difficult race to make.
Well, it didn't seem difficult at the time. Dirksen was the Republican leader of the Senate at the time, but Lou Harris, who's now the famous pollster, was then just starting out, was Yates's pollster then, and said that Yates could beat him on domestic issues. This is the time when Kennedy was talking about starting Medicare and a number of domestic programs, and Dirksen was very weak on that. Plus, there had been a Governor Yates, Governor Richard Yates, who's the Illinois governor during the Civil War, and all of these downstate people thought that
gravitated to the name.
Gravitated to the name. And so he had much stronger strength downstate than it was expected. And so it really looked like it was a very, very competitive race. Lou Harris told Yates and his chief of staff, Mary Bain, this is very winnable. And so he jumped in.
But. it's one thing to jump in, and it seems almost unheard of in this kind of heightened political atmosphere that we live in, is that Sid Yates helped John Kennedy.
Yes, he did.
In the Jewish community, and did outreach for him.
And it was even more than it became very personal. Yates and Kennedy had known each other for a while. They were part of this group of young veterans who were in the House of Representatives who would meet every Tuesday night for dinner and talk about issues. In 1952, Kennedy is running for Senate for the first time, and he has no Jewish support in Massachusetts because his father, Joe Kennedy, is an acknowledged anti-Semite and had been a Hitler sympathizer during the 30s. And so, partly as a result of the Rickover race, Yates had become a national Jewish spokesman. Kennedy asks his friend, Sid Yates, to come to Massachusetts and campaign for the Jewish community. Kennedy wins the race over Henry Cabot Lodge by only about 75,000 votes. So then Yates is an absolute supporter of Kennedy in running for president. 1962 happens. Yates now wants to run for Senate and expects that his old friend, John Kennedy, who he saved in 52 and whose administration he's totally supported, would support him for the race. And he didn't. He stabbed him in the back.
And it tells you a little bit about what the nature of the house was. 1960 was a good year for Yates, in one sense. Kennedy won the election. He has a friend in the White House. However, he was supposed to become chairman of an appropriations subcommittee. The chairman of the appropriations committee hates Yates, going all the way back to 48, and decides, I don't want a Jewish liberal as a chairman of one of my subcommittees.
Yeah, I mean, let's remember, you know, we're talking about Dixiecrats back then, too, and, yeah. And that whole polarization factor Democrats.
The chairman was a Southern segregationist, and he was an anti-Semite.
And Yates had used his position on the Appropriations Committee to try to defeat desegregation, and this was before Brown versus Board. So there was a lot of dislike there.
In 60, he just abolishes the subcommittee. And Yates, in an interview, said at the time, where am I going? I'm stopped by the Dixiecrats. I can't go anywhere. So he decides he's going to take on Dirksen for the Senate. And he had every expectation that he could win the race. As Michael pointed out, his pollster told him, the weekend of Labor Day, which in those days was the kickoff for the partisan election, you can win. And then, of course, Kennedy had formed a friendship, but also a political alliance with Dirksen.
And then Lyndon Johnson jumped in as well. We have a White House tape that Lyndon Johnson made in 1964 after he became president, where he is on a phone call with Everett Dirksen, and he says, you owe me. The White House came to me in 1962 and said, should we support Sid Yates? And I said to them, it'll be a national tragedy the day that Everett Dirksen isn't in the Senate. So Kennedy's working against him. Lyndon Johnson's working against him. We have an interview with somebody who said that Mayor Richard Daley got a phone call from Kennedy telling him to lay off on this race. George, my one dispute in this is to what extent did Daley follow through on that? But certainly, we absolutely clear. All of the national Democratic leadership was trying to help Dirksen, the Republican, stay in the Senate.
Even Mike Mansfield, the majority leader of the Senate, organized a tribute to Everett Dirksen on the floor of the United States Senate. Hubert Humphrey, the liberal icon, stood up along with Mansfield and paid tribute to Everett Dirksen. And, of course, that was the headlines all back home. And toward the end of the campaign, the Cuban Missile Crisis occurred. Kennedy sent an airplane to O'Hare Airport to bring Dirksen back to Washington. And there's the famous little vignette of Dirksen at the airport having alerted the media, and he supposedly is talking to his wife, but of course he was talking rather loud. Honey, I have to go back to Washington to help the young president in this national crisis. I'm not going to be able to campaign very much because of this. Well,
the poll switched overnight.
Sure, that's the ball game.
That really
ball game
fun.
Over. Gentlemen, I mean, just we could talk for hours about this, and I regret that our time has come to a close here. But, I mean, we're in the holiday time. This is a great gift, this book. Clear It with Sid. Sidney R. Yates in 50 Years of President's Pragmatism and Public Service. Gentlemen, a great book. Thank you so much, Michael Dorf, George Van Dusen. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I highly recommend it.
Thank you. Enjoyed being with you.